think the Lord wants to. You ever get that where the dog's going fine and then all of a sudden you yank his leash and brought him back because he's just getting a little ahead of himself? And sometimes he forgets where he's supposed to be, which is submitted to the master who is taking him for the walk. Amen? If we think this world is our master, then we're in trouble. So what we know is that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior. Lord means master. That means we submit to him willingly, because we've called ourselves bond servants. Bond servant is one who becomes a servant willingly, not out of necessity, not out of force, not out of fear, but out of love. A bond servant is so blessed by the master that even though their time of servitude might be up, they don't want to leave his side, so they willingly put themselves in submission to the master. Isn't that cool? That's what you are. You're not forced to follow Christ. We sang a song. It's his love. It's his love that draws us. It's his love that keeps us. And it's his love that causes us to come back to him. And there is no other love besides his love. There's no love like that. I mean, it just, glory to God. Anyways, here we have a time Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians 15. He started out, let's go back a little couple chapters. He went back to 12, for instance. He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He went into 13. He's talking about what love is. And I think you all need to read that if you don't know what love is. Just because somebody else says, I love you, doesn't mean they love you. Amen. Love is truly what God says it is, not what man says it is. We call so many different things in this world love that we get so messed up and so clouded that when somebody all of a sudden turns on us and says, I don't love you anymore, it's a lie because they never loved us in the first place, because they never would have said, I don't love you, if they loved us. God will never say, I don't love you. I don't care what you do or you don't do. God will always love you. That's what love is all about, and that's what you need to learn, is what love is. So when you step into a relationship, you don't step into a relationship because of lust. I always told you, I've told you 1,000 times, I lusted after my wife. I didn't love her. I learned to love her when we went through all the bad things in life, and yet we stayed together.
Amen.
That's love.
Amen.
God, even in all our bad times we got, God's still love, and you can depend on his love. Amen?
Amen.
So anyways, get into 1 Corinthians 13, you'll see what it's all about. And then he went into 14, he talks about prophecy and tongues. And he goes into explanations of how it works in the church. Now, all of those things we understand. That's just part of his, obviously, of his teachings, part of his epistles that where he taught on how to live a Christian life, a good and godly life, how to live a Christian life. And that's really what you want to learn to do. Because when you establish that walk in Christ, pretty soon you're looking down on situations instead of looking in them. Now we read it, we're going to soar like an eagle over the top of these things. And so even though, as we sang, we've been rejected by the world, we're still accepted by him. In the end, that's all that matters. And there he comes up to this point where in 1 Corinthians 15, and he's talking about, let's start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, in other words, over all the other things I've been talking about, yeah, I want to remind you of something. I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also you received and in which you stand. Remember, Paul came to these people preaching the gospel. And then he went back and wrote letters to correct things that were going on in the church, because they were still living in an old mindset and an old fallen nature. And they were doing things that were ungodly and saying, oh, because God loves us, it's all right. So Paul had to correct all these things. Amen? And that's what it was all about. And he taught them about marriage. They taught them about healings. He taught them about finances. He taught them about peace of mind. He brought all those things out so that they could live a good life. But the bottom line is this. This is what I was preaching to you when I came to you the first time. And I'm bringing it back to your remembrance. I'm reminding you again what this is really all about. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't matter. At the end of all things, there's only one thing that really truly matters. Amen? I found when I was 30 years old, I thought this big stuff that I had going on in my life was what mattered. I had a boat, and I had cars, sports cars, I had all that stuff. I thought that was cool. That was what it was all about. As I got to my close to 70, now I'm realizing there's more than the sports car and the boat. Although I walked through the mall yesterday and I looked at all the boats and I kind of drooled a little bit over them. That old nature hasn't died completely. It still wants to enjoy this. And we were given this world to enjoy. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having a boat and going fishing and doing hunting and doing all the good things you like to do, golf, whatever it is. Praise God, bowling, or just sleeping like I like. Whatever it is, you should be able to enjoy life. And if a Christian can't enjoy life, who can? But this life isn't what it's all about. Because this life, trust me when I tell you, time flies. The older you get, the faster it goes. Oh man, you wake up one morning and you find out you're almost 70 years old. You go, what in the world happened to the last 40 some years? It's gone. Fine, bye bye. You don't get it back. And you start thinking to yourself, what's my future like? I've you know my story, and I'm not going to go through it all, but you don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't know what today brings. You could be walking out, unhook the dog, and have a heart attack and never even knew what hit you. Things happen. You want to know this. The body is dying because of sin, but the spirit's alive because of Christ. Who I am will not die. What I dwell in will possibly, if the Lord should tarry, perish here on earth and go into the grave. But there's a day coming. How many of you know that?
Hallelujah.
My hope is not in this world. There's a day coming when that body will come up out of that grave, a glorified body, without sickness, without disease, without any impurity whatsoever, and it'll join together with my glorified spirit, and together, eternity, here we go. And I don't have to worry about whether I get too old, because I never will again. Amen. Never get sick again. Never fear again. Never have all the problems that this life brings at me. All the temptations that are all gone. Goodbye. Amen. And I start truly living what God created me to live for. I was created. You were all created to live for eternity. You were never created to pass away or die. Man was supposed to live for eternity. Sin entered into it and messed it all up. You're great, 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 and keep on going backwards. Adam messed it up, along with the woman that God gave him. I didn't say that. Excuse me. I didn't say that. Adam said that. I'm just repeating his words. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, let's back up. Now, Paul is writing to him. He said, let me read that first one again. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. First of all, he preached it. They accepted it by faith, received it, and now they're standing in it. They're standing strong. This is the anchor of their soul. This is what they're believing in. This is what keeps them following Christ because of the gospel he preached. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. So in other words, Paul is saying, this is what I preached to you. This is the gospel I came to you with. I did not come to talk to you about this and that and this and that. I came to preach the gospel, the truth. This is what it's all about. In the end of all things, you're either going to heaven or hell. Either you accept what I preached to you and receive it and stand in it, or not. Amen? truly what it's all about. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Either you accept his sacrifice at the cross at Calvary, or you reject it. Amen? Hallelujah. Easy, isn't it? Life is easy, isn't it, in Christ? It's not a religious thing. It's not a big thing. It's just that, yeah, okay. He preached it. I believe it. Let me go on a little bit. I'm going to do four again. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, jump down with me to 11. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So what do we have here? We have a people, and some, remember, some of the people that got saved, even in the Jewish community, there was different sects. There was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. Amen? And that's, we were talking about that the other day, and sad, you see. They're sad, you see. Because if there is no resurrection, you're sad. But if there is, and this is what Paul is getting to, and some of that Corinthian church, there were some saying, there is no resurrection. When you go, you're dead, that's it, it's over with. Amen? Listen. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he had raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not raise. Now hear me, what I'm going to tell you this. The problem in the world today is not between Democrats and Republicans, not between this and that. The whole problem with the world is some believe in the resurrection and some don't. You, I hope and pray that you're on the side to believe. Then you're going to be odds with those who don't believe. You know why they fight out in California, and they're fighting in Washington, and they're having these arguments and disagreements, and, oh, I can't come into agreement with you. Why? Because one of them has a hope of a future, and the other is saying, all I've got is today. And if you take my today away, I got nothing. And that's their fear. They're living in that time warp of no hope, nothing for the future. If the economy fails, then my whole life is ruined. So they go and jump out windows. They hang themselves. They take their drugs. They take their out. Why do you think most of them, 99% of the people out there, especially in the movie industry, they're on drugs or alcohol? Because they have nothing. They put all their hope in their fortune, their money, or in their fame, or in the way they look. And when the way they look is starting to disappear, what do? They got to go to the doctor and get surgery so they look better again. Because all their hope is in their looks. And when they don't have money, what do? They'll have to go sell everything they got so they got more money. Who was it the other day was selling something? I forget who it was. Had to sell some big name. I mean, he made over $500 million, and he had to sell a house someplace so that he could pay off a bill somewhere. They have nothing. They have absolutely nothing. And the worst part of it is the church is running after what they've got. Yep. Nothing. Yep. And when they finally get it, they realize it doesn't bring me any joy. It doesn't. For a moment, sin is good for a season. You can enjoy it for a moment. Mm-hmm. And you will. When you sit there and eat the extra piece of cake, or leave the piece of cake and eat the rest of the cake. For the moment, it feels good and tastes good. But when you get up and look in the mirror later on, you start to realize, hey, that wasn't such a good idea. Amen. So you can have this world, but the Bible tells, you know the word. It says, that what profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses his soul? Yeah. His soul is his emotions, his mind, his will. When you're so caught up in the things of this world, all you can fixate is on that. Your fear is that somebody's going to come and take what you put your hope in. So fear is rampant throughout that whole area. What do you think all the disagreement about Washington and all this stuff? It's got nothing to do with election. It's got nothing to do with people. It's fear. Everybody's afraid. They're going to take away from me the only thing I've got that keeps me alive. They put their hope in people. They put their hope in an election. They put their hope in whoever else is up there. Crazy. In the end, it's going to destroy itself. It's going to destroy itself, and anyone who's following it will follow it to the pit. It's just the way it is. Hallelujah. I got on a rant. Let me get done here. Let me back up. Where did I go? All right. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. So believing for God to provide for you by faith, if your faith hasn't been established in the resurrection, is useless. The first thing you got to come to realize, if God can supply my need for a resurrection, he can supply my need for my finances. If he can bring this body up out of the grave, out of the dust, and it's all dust and nothing left, and make a new glorified body, then he can heal my body. Faith begins with the resurrection. Faith begins there, when you know that Jesus Christ came out of that grave, and you know the moment he died on that cross was personally for your sins. Not for everybody else's. I told you, when I was there with the Lord, I looked at him. I knew there was others all around, but all he could see was me. You think that's not being proud or arrogant or any of that stuff? Because if you stand before him, all it is going to be about you. Not in your own mind, but in his. It's unique what he can do. It's so unique that every person who comes to Christ has a personal, I'm going to say relationship, but I'm not saying that, a personal moment where he reveals himself to you personally, and everybody else can be around you. I remember Alex when he went outside. He got out of the service, went outside. He's an atheist. Was. He went outside and came back in. I just got saved. Had nothing to do with anybody. People were praying for him. Deanna was sharing with him. But it was a personal relationship. God came down and stood right in his heart. Amen. Made himself known to him. That's what Jesus does, you know. Yeah, it's fine. We come together. We praise him. We worship him. We pray together. But it really matters only when it's just you and him. Amen. When you have that experience, you have that relationship, you have that experience with him, all of a sudden you realize, yeah, this stuff's real. This stuff's real. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. God's unique in that he will meet each one where they needed to be met. When God called me into the pastorate, it was with a voice that I knew, he knew that I needed to hear, because I never would have received it from anybody else. Mm-hmm. Only from him. Mm-hmm. When God meets you, he will speak to you with a voice that's unique to you. Mm-hmm. He will speak to you the way he knows that he can reach you. That's why you can't look at somebody else and say, well, obviously God isn't moving there because he's not doing it the way he did with me. Not so. Right. Not so. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's go on. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only, excuse me, remember what we started this thing. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. If all we've got is that Jesus is going to supply all my needs, that Jesus is going to heal my body, if Jesus is going to bring peace to me, Jesus is going to be with me, and that's it, and when we die, it's over with, we're wasted life. Go into 2 Corinthians 5 with me real quick. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church again. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us his Spirit as a guarantee. What's he saying? This is the truth. And I've said this multiple times. When someone passes that we know is a saint and on their way to heaven, that body is almost like a burdensome thing that holds the spirit down. Inside of every Christian is a heart's desire to be with him. Amen? I mean, bottom line. Bottom line, the Christian. Because why? Because we have the Spirit of Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, constantly reminding us of him, showing us him, speaking from his voice. We, inside of us, the born-again, Spirit-filled child of God, the one who was crucified with Christ, was buried with him, was rose with him on the third day, and is seated with him in heavenly places in a spiritual sense, desires to be with him. And the body is holding it back. The body is holding it back. It's almost like it's a burden to us. It's a weight that's holding us down because we want to fly like an eagle. We want to be with him in his presence. When I was thinking of this, and in a little bit, we got that, what I want to show you in a minute. When I died that time with that heart attack, and I didn't know till afterwards. I said to the EM, what happened? And he told me I'd been gone for about a minute. And I saw darkness. And I saw points of light. And I come to realize now, if somebody could see over where I was, they would have saw the same light that I was seeing over there. But the thing that really, out of all of that, really got to me was there was no fear. Now, I'm in dark, not knowing what's all around me. I didn't know what happened to me. You ever go into a place and it's all dark and you kind of get the, what's going on? Boy, it's fearful you're going to drop a pit, something, or fall, or something's going to jump out at you or whatever. Well, this darkness, there is no, except for those pinpoints of light, there is no light. I mean, none. But there was no fear. And I thought about it, and I said, wow, that's amazing. And I talked about it. Then this was brought back to my mind, and my remembrance was, he said in Psalm 23, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. When you pass over from this life and you pass into the next, you'll enter into darkness. And that darkness will draw you up into the light. And there'll be a place where you'll get into his presence. But know this, there'll be absolutely no fear in you whatsoever. Why? He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod and staff is the word of God you've already learned. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God already talking to your heart right now. Saying, okay, I know where my home is and it's not here. And so the enemy comes and tempts you with all the things of this world. You say, I don't care. I got a house that's not built with hands. I got a mansion waiting for me in heaven. I got my Lord and Savior waiting for me up there. He's going to crown me.
Hallelujah.
Party up there. Party. Serious. So you're already prepared not to die. Death is nothing. Die. If you're a born again spirit filled, death just means separation from God, and you'll never be separated from Him. When you got born again, the Spirit of Christ came in you, and He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
That's His covenant to us. That's His promise to us. Yeah, but you don't know what I said. You don't know what I did. God says, I'm not going to leave you.
Hallelujah.
You're mine. You're mine. You belong to me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I picked you.
Hallelujah.
For eternal life with me.
My God.
I picked you. And do you really believe there's anybody big enough to remove you out of my hands? Ain't no way.
Jesus.
Nothing. Nothing.
My God.
Because my son paid the price for your life. And if you think I'm going to relegate my son to a lower position than he is, come on.
My God.
His death is so great, but His resurrection is even greater. Amen? Trust me. God is trying to show us something. He's going to do some great things ahead.
Yes.
And I told you, restoration, He's going to bring some great things happening in your life. But never forget what this is all about. It's not those things. It's not that which He does down here, although it brings glory to Him and it praise Him and will worship Him. Just remember, this is not about that. Your life and the restoration of all those things, all those pains, all those sorrows, all the things that God's going to restore and take away and restore your health, restore your peace, restore your joy, restore your excitement of serving Him. When all of that is back in there, never forget, that's not what it's all about. That's all about you and Him for eternity. That's what it's all about. And you'll never again fear what the devil can do down here. You'll never again fear what man can do down here or will not do. You'll never again doubt that God's plan for you is so much greater than the rest of this junk that's going on down here. You sang it this morning. You sang it this morning. Been destroyed or broken but not destroyed or whatever they are. We sang it this morning. You should have taken that to heart. Because if my God be for me, there ain't a thing in this world that can stop Him from doing what He promised He will do. When I go to the grave or before the grave, if the rapture comes, I'm out of here. He's taking me home with Him. And nothing can hinder it. No government, no sickness, no disease, no poverty. I don't care what I am, what I look like, or what I'm not. There's nothing can stop God from getting me to Him.
Amen.
And that's what this is all about. You're going to go through things down here. You are going to go through things down here. But never fear. God be there before you. He'll be there after you. He'll get you through it. He'll get you over it. He'll get you around it. He'll get you whatever it takes.
Oh, my God.
That's what my God will do.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's what my God will do.
My God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me just one more. I got some other, but I'm gonna. Actually, we're on our way to a conference, so I'm not cutting it short. I'd keep going and forget the plane, but that's not it. In Haggai 2, as I was praying this week, God brought this to me, and I started going. I said, "Oh my goodness!" So I started taking the message that way. That's where He wants to take me. And then He started dealing with me until this morning. He started revealing it really. Now, something happened before. What I got here is a surprise. Put it up there. Is a short video. All right? And it hit me so hard. I've never seen it before. Some of you might have already seen God just sit there and be nice and quiet and let the rest of us. But He got this scripture. And then all of a sudden, I saw it this morning. This is 700 Club. That's what it's off. I saw it this morning, this scripture, Haggai 2. Let me give it to you. Hallelujah. Because I've seen it in the natural. I've seen it. And God showed me. I do believe God's doing this year in the natural. But I also believe it's a spiritual. Listen to what it says. Haggai 2:9. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I'll give peace, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, I don't care how good you look down here. I don't care how good you got it down here. That next temple, the temple, what is it? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The greater temple is yet to come. You will carry the glory of the living God throughout eternity in your temple, or the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. So I don't care how bad you look down here. If you get your eyes on the Lord, He will then reveal to you what's about to come. He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Can you all see? Is this in anybody's way? I'll get it out of your way. Let me move it quick. All right. This gentleman here, they're going to talk about it. You'll hear him, what he says. Listen to him. Now, you can do, well, I don't know if that's true. Okay, that's fine. The reason I believe him is because what he saw and what he experienced was things that I experienced. And I never met him. I just saw this video 3 days ago. I think on a, what's today, Sunday? Friday, maybe Thursday I saw it first. Maybe 4 days ago. So listen, please. I think you'll enjoy it. It's about 20 minutes long. Go ahead.
She was